What is up, you guys? Welcome back to the Sunset Drive podcast for a brand new episode. I am Anthony Smith, and on this side of the internet, I like to have old and new friends from the entertainment industry come on, talk about their career, share some stories, share some laughs. So if that sounds like a sweet time to you, then you might want to keep listening.
So typically I start my podcast, like I mentioned, by hyping up the guest, but the guest today needs no introduction. He is the fairy godfather of musicals, film, and TV. Welcome to the show, Mr. Kenny Ortega.
Thank you so much.
Everybody, welcome him to the show. I know a lot of you guys have been excited seeing him come on the show, and I'm very, very excited to have him on as well. So before starting everything else, I want to know, you know, from somebody who's watched a lot of your work since I was a kid, starting with High School Musical 1 and now watching Julie and the Phantoms, you know, I'm a really big fan of all you do. I've always wondered, when somebody brings to your table, to your office, an idea, a concept, a script, what makes you drawn to that script in particular? You know, we have Descendants, which was based on the Isle of the Lost books with Melissa de la Cruz. And then we have, of course, Julie and the Phantoms, based on Julie y los Fantasmas. Sorry if I butchered that to all the Brazilian fans out there. how do you approach those scripts, and what makes you believe in a script that you can be like, I can make a franchise out of that, I can make something special out of this?
Great question, first of all, you know, and a question that I enjoy answering, because, you know, choices are, it's all about choices for me. It hasn't always been that way, Anthony. You know, in the beginning of my career, like for most people,
right,
when you're moving into an industry and you're starting up, you know, mm-hmm. you're sort of at the bottom tier, you know,
right.
your hopes that, you know, that you're going to do the kind of work that's going to elevate you, move you, you know, up and mm-hmm. enable you a greater voice at some point. Mm-hmm. I always followed my dreams. And in the beginning, you know, what enabled me to make selections was how, you know, I'm going to get to pay the rent this month. You know,
right.
These last decades, I've been very, very fortunate to have a career that has enabled me to support my family, to live comfortably. And mm-hmm. therefore, the choices that I make are like different now.
And, okay, yeah.
And before High School Musical, but we can start there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one thing, but I would say the most important thing is that, you know, I want to entertain, of course, through my work. You know, I want to excite mm-hmm. and entertain and I love telling stories that are driven with music and yes. dance. But the biggest thing for me is that there is something that rivers through the work
right.
that leaves the audience with something that they can take away with them. That
right.
perhaps, you know, instills hope, optimism. Inspiration,
right?
Gives them a little kick in the butt that says, you know what, I'm going for it. I'm not going to quit,
mm-hmm.
you know, or I love mm-hmm. who I am, or
right.
that you know, I can turn the page and I can my life can be better than it is. So those are the things that I'm always looking for, you know, and then
right.
opportunities to tell great story and to find wonderful casts. You know,
right.
to deliver the goods. But I would say theming and taking are probably the most significant things for me.
I absolutely love that. And we mentioned the cast. I think, you know, I've been acting since I was very young, and I've had friends who have acted since they were very young who have auditioned for you in the past. And I think it would be unanimous that a lot of them, like, Kenny's auditions are different. You know, it's not a typical audition. You don't feel like you're going into that room. I feel like a lot of people who would audition for you would think like, oh, I need to have 7 years of dance training and like 8 years of singing training. But then you have somebody like the beautifully talented Madison Reyes, who came into the scene with her first self-tape with She Used to Be Mine, which is an amazing waitress song, and wowed you. Why do you think people say that your auditioning process is different than any other auditioning process out there?
Well, I think it might have something to do with the fact that as a young person, you know, I started like Madison in the theater.
Right.
You know, at 12 years old, you know, and I was auditioning all the time.
Right.
And
right.
I would walk into rooms and audition with, I felt like in front of directors and choreographers that didn't even look at me. I wondered sometimes if they even noticed what it was that I was doing.
Okay.
Or where I felt this sort of tension, you know, and so I think after years and years of being an actor and being in those shoes, I came to appreciate how important those rooms are for people. And that if you're really expecting, you know, to come to meet a person and come really be given an opportunity to sort of understand the colors that a person is in with them, you have to create an environment that is friendly. And that and that is not threatening, and that is not right. And so, I'm looking for an individual that says to me, you know, you're going to have fun working with me, you know?
Right?
And that an individual that I can inspire, and
inspire,
but also that maybe has ideas, and that is something there that I would otherwise not know. If I was so strict in the way that I held an audition.
Wow.
Madison, you know, is an incredible example. Although he didn't come into a room for me, there was something there that had promise in neon lights.
Right.
Not everybody sees that. Not everybody did see that when we found her. And when we brought her to Los Angeles, she was up against 9 professional actresses that had all had a lot more experience in her.
But absolutely.
I saw a promise in Madison that said to me, my God, will this be a fun young lady to work with? And eventually, everybody saw it.
But it started with you. You saw it first, which I absolutely love that. And I think it's promising for everybody out there. I know a lot of people are like, I wish I would have done acting. You know, I wish I would have done this. And I'm like, it's never too late to do so, because if you have promise and you have talent, then nothing's really impossible, which I absolutely adore. So one thing I really did want to touch on is you did the Dream at Con conference. Mm-hmm. And I believe in the conference that you did, you mentioned something about how you thought in terms of inclusivity in the entertainment industry, we are not moving forward, we are struggling forward, which I thought was very interesting as a listener, because I've never seen that take on that subject. So how would you describe that take on it, and how do you think we should approach inclusivity and diversity in the entertainment industry?
Well, I think that's a big question.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm tortured by what I see happening right now in our Asian community.
Yeah.
And the horrific
racist
attacks against individuals, and especially elderly. I mean, you know, 65-year-old woman being tackled to the ground.
Right.
You know, I think our industry, I work with a lot of great, inspired, and enlightened people, and I'm very, very fortunate to be in their company.
Right.
And right now I'm at Netflix, and before that I was at Disney, and I didn't have to convince anyone of anything with regard to, you know, being inclusive in our thinking in front of the camera, behind the camera, with producers and writers, and that both of these companies, you know, really do diligent work to make sure that they are really focused on it. And they have people within those companies that are focused on it entirely. So I do see progress. I do see more and more executives, you know, looking to find ways of offering opportunities for more diverse writers and actors and producers and crew. It's just, you know, we wished it would move faster.
Absolutely.
The ethnic breakdown of our country.
Absolutely.
And who's watching movies and who's watching television? You know?
The people.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that.
You know, it's like you're only going to serve yourself.
Exactly.
You know, by being more, you know, inclusive and open-minded and reaching for ethnic diversity.
Absolutely.
And fairness. And also the stories that they properly you know, represent.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's so many heroic figures, you know.
So many.
And often we're not seeing, you know, ethnic actors and actresses in roles or that you know, are supportive of the heroic efforts of their communities.
You're right.
My own community. So, yeah. It is a struggle, but I do see progress. I'm with the I work with the Amahan Foundation that Norman Lear and Helen Hernandez started over 30 years ago, which is all about, you know, driving this ambition forward.
There are absolutely
like that out there in our country. It's happening.
Yeah, and to everybody who just listened to that, I'll put the link in the bio so you guys can get informed and go check out that foundation, because I think that's super, super important. And tackling on these issues of diversity, inclusivity, I think is in Julie and the Phantoms. You know, we have a Latina lead, we have a queer character. You did this one interview with, I think, Variety. You know, as an openly gay director, you talked about how a lot of your projects have a queer theme. But with this project, one of your characters got to have a truly queer narrative, you know, falling in love with another man and being so open about who he is and be comfortable in who he is. I also read this awful story on that same article where you talked about when you were doing the tour Hair. Apparently there was a police officer that, if I understood correctly, put drugs in your hotel room because he had a problem with you playing a bisexual character and all that stuff. And you got arrested and got put in jail for several weeks, I read. And you eventually got out, obviously, and is now, you know, thriving. But how does it feel to have lived that era in America, but then also be at a point in your career now where you can have an openly gay character on one of your shows and people having to embrace that character so much because of that?
Yeah, they're still not embracing those characters.
Not everywhere.
What I am finding is in our young people, you know, in the audiences that particularly that tune into my work, a family and kids, I'm finding that there's more openness. You know, I'm meeting young people that have LGBTQ+ clubs in their middle schools. And and that, you know, in working with young actors that I haven't known, that I suddenly put together and we have this sort of, you know, begin that I find that there's an attitude that's just like, you know, they're comfortable and that it's not a big deal. And they don't get, you know, why it's even a conversation. It has to be a conversation. It still needs to be a conversation. There's not a comfort zone for transgender or gay and lesbian people all over this country, let alone the world, especially the world. Mm-hmm. So it still does need to be a conversation.
Right. Ongoing.
And that's why I like, it's important to me that whenever possible that I do like to have characters, gay characters, you know, in my stories. Owen Joyner and Boo Boo Stewart, amazing kids to work with, so relaxed, so comfortable. From the moment they met each other, they were like, let's dive into this and do it justice and do it right. And whatever it is that you think that you want from us, fearless.
Right. Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. And it's very exciting for me that I have the support of the studios that I work with and have had the support of the studios that I work with that I can have gay characters with main narratives in the family work that I do.
Right. And they're not cliches, which I truly, truly appreciate, because I think sometimes in different projects, some people will bring in those characters, but it's going to be a cliche that's not representative of that community at all. But I think with Julie and the Phantoms, if you guys have not watched the show, please, please do so. You find these two kids and their storyline is not approached differently than any other straight relationship would be on a TV show. You know, it's organic, it flows, it's adorable, and I think it was done beautifully on the show. So I thank you for that.
Thank you. Well, my writers, Dan Cross and Dave Hoge, you know, it's got to be on the page first.
Right, exactly.
So completely open, you know, and working with me, an open gay director, opening game director, and then also, you know, with the ideas that our actors came back with. It was just such fun. Every minute that we were working with these guys and on that story was such fun.
It shines through the screen, absolutely. Yeah. Now, one of the things that I'm very curious about, you know, I asked my audience, I was like, what do you want to know from Kenny? And a lot of people were like, season 2. Now, obviously, there has been no official announcement yet. I know there's been a little ruckus at the beginning of the of last week. People thought, oh, it's official. But I want to know, as a director and being a part of that project, what has been the most exciting part about, you know, figuring out what season 2 would be like, and where do you hope to bring these characters if you get to move their story forward in the future?
This whole experience has just been so wonderful.
Right.
As each experience before it has been for me, starting with High School Musical 1, 2, and 3, and then going into A Cheetah Girls and Descendants, and landing me with Julie and the Phantoms. I love working in this world and in this capacity.
Right.
And had just such a ball, you know, finding the talent and with the support of Netflix and their excitement about the project and the freedom that they allowed me.
Right.
You know, and Dan and Dave, who are just incredible partners, really smart guys, funny guys, but also guys that have families and have rich hearts.
Right.
We're now, you know, developing. We're now writing. We're now moving forward, you know, with high hopes. You know,
high hopes.
Weeks, months, that Netflix is going to honor us with a green light and enable us to move forward with the next adventure of Julie and the Phantoms. We have our highest hopes. And I can't thank the fans enough. I mean, one of the great sort of rewards is, you know, when you get to do what it is that you love in life, when you get to spend, you know, every day of your life, you know, invested in something that you love with all of your heart.
Right.
And then to have so many people connect with it, embrace it, and demand that you keep doing it.
Right.
What better life could you ask for yourself? So I'm so grateful to the Phantoms, our Phantoms, and their devotion. And their dedication to making
their
sure.
Dedication.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to thank you because, you know, I started watching the show and obviously I was a really big fan of the show from the get-go. And from doing this podcast and having some of your cast on the show, I've grown incredible friendships with some of the cast members on that show. And so I think a lot of the fans even have some of their friendships from other people in the fandom to thank Julie and the Phantoms for. So I think wherever you are, even if you're part of the cast, the crew, the audience, you found something special to take away from that show, which I think is so beautiful. And hopefully we get to create new memories and build new friendships in the future as the show hopefully gets picked up for a season 2. One thing that my parents would kill me if I didn't bring this up is in my family, Michael Jackson is a really, really big deal. You know, I think as kids, we idolize our parents, and when they idolize somebody, that person almost is like godlike. You know, you don't imagine them as a person, you imagine them as like an icon. And I know for me, you know, Michael Jackson was a big icon. My grandfather was one of his glam players back when he was in the Jackson 5. And the preface of Sunset Drop has always been to humanize some of the industry top dogs. So what's one story you could tell us about Michael Jackson that would make him feel real to the audience and to myself today?
Well, there are so many. There are so many.
Right. I could assume so.
Standing backstage, you know, in an arena with 80,000 people in it, you know, and watching Michael sing Man in the Mirror. And just bring the crowd to their knees. I mean, you know, there have been very few performers that I have, you know, that I have worked with or that I have respected that have had this ability through their music to command such a reaction. Years ago, when I was a little kid, it was Judy Garland for me. When I saw Judy Garland perform, Judy Garland was the girl that played Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, for any of you that might not know her name.
You should.
I was just such a fan of hers as a young man, and I saw her live in concert. When she sang Over the Rainbow, I watched her tear the audience apart.
Right.
You know, and Michael Jackson just had this ability to go so deep and to reach down so deeply that when he hit those notes and he moved on that stage, that it was fireworks, human fireworks. Mm-hmm. And I just remember one particular night being backstage and him doing his turn and dropping to his knees and ripping his shirt and just
reaction.
It was like a gigantic tsunami had hit the audience and they just the whole stadium moved back.
Right.
Like a lightning bolt, to shoot a lightning bolt off the edge of the stage.
Right.
He could have done it with black drapes behind him. He didn't need anything. You know, he was all the special effects that anyone ever needed. He was just really good to me, really generous to me and to everyone that he worked with. He was grateful and appreciative, loving and thankful, and always made you feel important and that your voice mattered. And every time he called and asked me to work with them, I said yes, because every time I said yes, I came out the other end of the experience having been somewhere as an artist that I'd never been before.
And that's all you can hope for as an artist in a creative, I assume. I love that. Now, we're going to go in a very big deep dive on all of your credits, which is a very extensive line of credits. And Ricardo had the brilliant idea of whenever I name a new credit, you come up with one word that comes to mind when you think of that credit.
I'll try my best.
Yeah, trying your best. So you're a highly decorated member of the entertainment industry, having directed and choreographed 3 world tours with Michael Jackson. What would be one word for that that would come to mind?
Genius.
Genius. I love that. And then you choreographed and directed Hannah Montana's Best of Both Worlds World Tour. What's one word for that one?
Exhilarating.
I love that. I really do. All right. And then Cher's Heart of Stone Tour.
Inspirational.
Inspirational. And then directed and choreographed High School Musical 1 and 2 and added the producer credit to High School Musical 3, which was in movie theaters. What would be one word to embody High School Musical, the franchise, in one word?
Pride.
Pride. Oh, I love that a lot. And then, of course, directed and choreographed Cheetah Girls 2. Cheetah Girls. What are we thinking for the Cheetah Girls?
Honor. Honor.
An honor. You've choreographed and directed Hocus Pocus and Newsies. What would be one word to embody those two productions?
Fulfillment.
Ooh, I swear, every word you say, I'm like, ooh, my vocabulary is expanding now. And then, of course, you choreographed for Madonna, Cher, Elton John, Gloria Estefan, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, obviously, and of course, Dirty Dancing. I mean, we could find words for all of these things, but I'm now realizing I'm not sure there's enough words in the vocabulary to embody all of those. And of course, you've choreographed and directed, produced Michael Jackson's This Is It, Sentence 1, 2, 3, and of course, now Netflix's Julie and the Phantoms. You've been nominated for 7 Primetime Emmys and won 3, and of course, now you have your own star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. At this stage in your career, how would you define the word success?
Well, being able to make choices that are based on, you know, reason. Gene Kelly used the French saying raison d'être. Raison d'être. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Being. Mm-hmm. And really reminded me how important it was to come to a place in our lives as creative people to look at what's being offered or what it is that you're investing in and to make sure that there is something that sits at the center of it that has great reason. Mm. And I think for me that I live a life where I am working on things that I feel have reason, great reason. Mm-hmm. And for me, that is the ultimate success for me in my life because that brings me great happiness.
I love that. So success should be measured in happiness, not in trophies, not in money, in happiness and creative fulfillment. Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. And I wonder, when I read through that entire paragraph, I'm just like, do you still have like dream projects or dream people that you would love to work with in the future?
Yeah. You know, I'm so in the moment kind of a guy. That's the one question that I've never been really good at. You know, I would love to work with Harry Styles. I would love to do something with Justin Bieber. I would love to work with Beyonce. There are a lot of artists out there that I wish that my life would sort of come into some kind of connection with. Jackson. But you know, that's always a hard question for me, because I'm always like so in the moment with what it is that I'm doing that I'm not not anticipating or dreaming outside of my dreams are about making sure that what I'm working on at the moment, I'm giving it my all.
Absolutely.
But you know, I hope I'm not, you know, I'm not going to be retiring anytime soon. So I hope that there's a big opportunity for me out there still to do many things that I haven't been able to do that offer me challenge and excitement and working with people that I think are special. And also the discovery of talent.
Is right.
My favorite thing.
And you do it so beautifully.
Talent together and offering them the opportunity to become inspired from one another and to grow because of the people that they're working with. So yeah, you know, like I said earlier, I mean, I'm living the life. I so enjoy what it is that I do.
I absolutely love that. And when I was looking at your IMDb, you have so many projects in the works right now. And one of them, you're rumored to direct your first horror film in Thriller, the movie treatment of Michael Jackson's iconic music video Thriller, and to direct Fab Four, the Beatles story, a biography adapted to the big screen of the Beatles. Can you confirm or deny any of your involvement on these projects? And if you can, is that something that I can look forward to finding out in the future?
There is a Beatles project that I hope one day I will be a part of, but it's not the Fab Four.
It's not the Fab Four.
No, it isn't. And but there is a Beatles project that I have been working on that I'm hoping I'll be attached to and involved with at some point. And in terms of Thriller, when Michael and I were in rehearsals for This Is It, prior to that, before we got into rehearsals, Michael had shared with me that after the This Is It performances in London, that he wanted to take one more swing around the world, and then he wanted to get into film. And he asked if I would become his partner, and he wanted me to work with him in the development of Thriller as a major motion picture musical.
And we
just haven't really had an opportunity to do that yet.
Well, for every Kenny Ortega fan out there, I'm betting that a lot of people would show up to the movie theater to see whatever you would be able to come up with in the future. And I'm rooting for it personally, because I absolutely love that music video. So manifesting it out there, it's out there.
Yeah, it's out there now, you know, reach out to the estate.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that I think is absolutely beautiful about all of your work is a lot of the things that you've created or been a part of have kind of taken a life on its own since your involvement in them, you know. I would call them like legacy projects, because they're kind of not projects that you're part of personally, but that you're a part of in some capacity because you're kind of in that world beforehand. So we have Disney had made an announcement about expanding and resuming the Descendants world with The Royal Wedding that is coming, I believe, this year. And then, of course, they're doing High School Musical. They brought it to a series format in a mockumentary on Disney Plus. And, of course, they're doing Hocus Pocus 2 as well for Disney Plus. For you as the director and somebody who's worked on these things for all of your career, can you enjoy it as an audience member, or do you find your genius director brain always brewing like, ooh, I would have done this like that, or reimagining some scenes? Never?
No. I turn, you know, whether it's going into a theater or turning on the, you know, the TV, I'm always hopeful for everyone.
Right.
You know, I look at it as, you know, the more success that's out there, the more opportunity it is for everyone to continue to engage in music and dance-driven projects. And everybody should be given an opportunity, and no one should be having a door shut in their face. Steven Spielberg redoing West Side Story. I can't tell you how many times over the years people had come to me and said, would you do West Side Story? And they said, no, I don't think I could do it better.
Such
respect for him and high hopes that he is able to bring West Side Story back to the screen with as much excitement and depth and thrill as Jerome Robbins was able to do back in the day when it inspired me to want to become an actor. You know, I'm a big fan of High School Musical, the musical, the series. wherever Hocus Pocus ends up, as long as it ends up with Bette and Kathy and Sarah being able to return to those crazy roles, I'd be looking forward to.
Right.
No, just as I did Newsies as the movie, and then it became a Broadway musical that Jeff Calhoun directed, and I can't tell you how many times I saw it.
Right.
I'm a huge fan of Newsies as a theatrical musical. So, no, I bless it, and I'm honored that, you know, something that I've been such a big part of has come to a place where someone else now takes it on and moves forward with it.
Absolutely. And one thing that I'm hoping to have, because we're having some of the cast members from High School Musical, the musical, this series, and they're big supporters of Julie and the Phantoms. And I think it's vice versa. The Julie and the Phantoms cast members are super supportive of High School Musical, the musical, this series. I know you've been able to impart so much wisdom in your Phantoms and in your beautiful family up in Vancouver. But what is one piece of advice that you would have for the next generation of Wildcats, the next generation of talent coming into the industry now?
Wow, there, you know, that's like a what would that one piece of information that I would share?
Right.
I think it has to be, you know, that you have to begin by embracing who you are. Love yourself. Mm-hmm. Stand tall in your shoes. Mm-hmm. And love yourself for all your quirks and all your imperfections and all your potential and promise. And to recognize that there's a voice inside of you that belongs to you, you know, and that doesn't mean that you don't take in other voices.
Right.
Ignore that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Most of the time, that is the most voice. God gave you that voice for a reason.
I love
Listen
that.
To it, tune into it, and it will most often guide you in the right direction.
That's beautiful. That's honestly beautiful. And I want to know, you know, all of these involvement in these projects that have taken a life since you've been a part of them. When do you know as a creative that it is time to pass the torch or time to pass the baton to somebody else to take creative freedom in a world that you've created? And, you know, being able, like you mentioned, to be able to watch that and be amazed by whatever they're able to create with it.
My life is so full of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I turn, you know, that there is an idea, an individual, a script, a song. Mm-hmm. There's so much,
right?
You know, that I think I have a sharing spirit, and that I believe that things happen for a reason,
absolutely,
and that not to sweat something that isn't happening for you because it's opening up a window or a door for something else that is going to be more appropriate for you.
Right. That's for any actor, that's a perfect analogy.
You know, my father used to say to me when I would come home disappointed that I didn't make an audition, he would say, don't get angry, get better.
Oh, that's beautiful. Absolutely. Any actor out there, we just crossed pilot season, who's crushed about hearing so many no's, I feel like this is something we could totally take in our back pocket and use on a daily.
Continue to make the investment and build that foundation and strengthen everything that you are. And the next time or the time after that, your package is out there. You know, it's
right.
out there.
Right. Absolutely love that. Now, before we bring on a very special guest to the party, I have one question because we're in this era of reboots and revamps and everything in between. Even Julie and the Phantoms is kind of a reimagination of a Brazilian show. If you could take any of the franchises that you've been a part of to reboot it now in 2021, and you would have access to the catalog of Kenny Ortega Project alums, what would you recreate and who would be your cast?
Well, there's one project that I did when I was a young man.
Ooh, and okay.
It was the project that you mentioned earlier when I was arrested by this Spartanburg chief of police.
Future. Yeah.
And that was the musical Hair.
Mm-hmm.
Experience for me was one of the greatest experiences of my life, and it changed my life, and it informed my life, and it helped me grow and become this confident person that could move forward. When I stepped into Hair, I was 18 years old, and I was still shaken and insecure and closeted, and Hair just gave me permission to sort of explode into myself. Mm. And I found a lot of the things that that musical talked about still need to be talked about. Mm-hmm. And so I would really love to remake Hair. There's everywhere I look, I could find people that I've worked with that I would love to throw right into the middle of it.
Right.
And then some people that I haven't really had a super opportunity to work with yet, like Jordan Fisher. I did a workshop of Hair last summer.
Right.
And Charlie Gillespie, Owen Joyner, and Jeremy Asheda were all in it. They all played three of the leading male roles in the production. And it was extraordinary.
I saw clips. Yes.
And yeah. I would invite them back, you know. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's the best answer I could come up with. There are probably a few more, but if you aren't familiar with Hair, it was written by Jerry Ragney and Jim Rado and Jerome Ragney. It broke all box office records of any musical during its time. It had companies running all over the world, and it's still available on iTunes, the musical score from the original Broadway show Hair.
Yeah. So you guys go check it out, because in a few years you might see it at the box office, and I will be opening night. I will be there. All right. Well, now we have to the party. We've added Mr. Ricardo Reyes, the father of the star of Julian the Phantoms, Madison Reyes. Kenny, I think, yes, show the shirt, the amazing shirt. I think who's worked on one of your set would say that you're a family man. You know, you love family. Who instilled those values in you? And how? Why do you think it's important to bring that to the set and build strong relationships like people like Ricardo to build that trust around your projects?
Hey, it's where we live every day of our lives, and we're there for weeks and months and sometimes longer than that. And so it is family. And family. I call it family, friends,
right.
Family, that sort of, and but I also just think that, you know, the strength that can come out of a bonded group of people, that so much more can come from a united group of people that care about one another and serve one another and have each other's backs. That your goals and your results are going to be so much more wonderful,
right?
That you're going to have this sort of glorious experience getting there,
right?
You know,
love that, that.
Fun, and that builds friendships and trust. And I mean, it's just, you know, that spirit is the best, and we have that with Julian the Phantoms, and this man right here brought it with him from not even day one, before day one, from the first minute that he landed in Los Angeles with his daughter before she got the role. You know, I knew he was a family man, and he was going to contribute to that spirit 100%.
Let's go, Rick. Now, I have a question, because Ricardo always has these amazing stories he wants to say about you, and where you two were together. He's always like, oh, I'll save it for the podcast. And you guys have bonded a lot on the set of Julian the Phantom Season 1. I want to hear some of those stories. I want to feel a part of the group. I want to feel a part of the Kenny and Ricardo bromance.
Well, the very first time meeting Kenny was when we flew out for Madison to do the audition. I remember them taking us to the stage, and everybody just jumped up, and they said, "Oh, Madison Reyes is here!" And everybody jumped up, and Kenny was one of the first. He pretty much ran to her, gave a big hug, introduced himself to me, and I was like, "What is going on?" So that was like really something, you know. And then I was like, you know, she was about to perform, you know, for the first time for him, and I was sitting behind him, and I kind of felt like nervous, and so I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, it's okay for you to cry. And he turned to me and goes, are you going to cry? And I said, I cry all the time. So she then started. She sung. And he literally turned around and looked at me, stood up, and he said in front of everybody that was there, he goes, can anybody tell me if the door in the back is closed? Because this little lady right here intimidated everybody. And she was off and running after that. It was just like an out-of-body experience. Like, what is going on? So that was my first impression of meeting Kenny for the first time. So, you know, it was awesome.
Good first impression.
I'd add to that that Ricardo is the fountain of youth. And, I mean, literally, he was crying all the time. From
right.
The audition, thanks. The rehearsals, thanks. The shooting.
Yeah.
emotional guy, man. Not afraid, you know. Not afraid, you know, and he's a man's man, but man, he's not afraid to allow his emotions to be seen. And together we cried a lot. I mean, when your girl sang Wake Up the first time, we were like a blubbering mess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a story about that. So she did, she did the, you know, everybody came to set because everybody knew that she was going to do her first performance of Wake Up. So everybody was there. I didn't know how the shot was going to be, you know, shot, you know, with the whole sun rising behind her and stuff. And she did the first take, the sun's rising, all this stuff. And I'm sitting right behind Kenny. Cut. He goes and checks her. I'm still sitting by the monitor. He comes back sobbing.
To me. What happened?
I can't breathe. I can't breathe. She's overwhelmed me. She's overwhelmed me. I was like, dude, what is going on here, man? You got to take it easy. You're the director.
Anthony, I just have to say that I so believed that when I first saw Madison on video.
Okay,
and I know we've talked about this before, but really quickly. She got handed this piece of paper from her teacher, and he said, you know, you're probably not going to get a role or even a telephone call, but hey, they're looking for someone that kind of sounds like you and what this invitation is about. So, you know, maybe you can take it home and put yourself on video and send it.
Right.
And her friend said, do it, do it, do it.
Yeah.
And that she went back there and said to her family, everybody needs to be quiet. I'm making a video. But they didn't know what she was doing.
Right.
Drug her piano out onto this little porch, and she learned not just her lines, everybody's lines.
Right.
She didn't even know that you have somebody read with you when you're auditioning.
Right.
So she comes bursting in front of the camera, and she's looking around, and she's hearing things that no one else is hearing, except I knew what she was hearing because I knew what the lines were.
Right, right.
But what I saw at that moment was this intelligence and this kind of poetry and beauty and honesty. And I was looking for Julie from the block. I wanted a girl that was going to bring me the reality.
Yeah.
And when I walked away from that song that day, it was because she superseded anything of my highest hopes.
Right.
All I imagined that was going to be possible, that we were going to be able to get by using Madison in one song, she eclipsed and just said to me, get ready. You have no idea where I can go. And she blew the roof off of the
project.
And every actor, every crew member, every person there was the flowers on the floor. And I just remembered for weeks, people on the team going, I can't believe that girl's never done anything before. He even said, I can't believe this is water.
Right. I remember Ricardo sent me her audition tape. And I was just like, how old is she again? He was like, oh, she was like 14 when she did that. And I was just like, that song is so emotionally complex and deep, and there's so much hurt, and she delivered that with such effortless talent. It's wild. Madison is out of this world. If you guys are not a fan of hers.
sometimes life just slips in through the back door and carves out a person and makes you believe it's all true.
Comes from parenting. And you know, you can squash an individual's dreams, hopes, goals, and or you can give them a pathway and light it up. And Ricardo and his wife are incredible parents. And it became very, very clear to me after, you know, spending time with them and with Madison and Madison's sister, Megan, mm-hmm. that the reason why you end up with a child like Madison is because of the home that she is born out of. And also, Ricardo was an artist, you know, and had huge dreams of his own and still does, but had mm-hmm. big dreams of his own as an artist and kind of put them on the back burner in order to sort of bring a family into the world and to support that family. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that also comes from having a dad who knows what it's about, you know, mm-hmm. and who inspires the artist in his children. And so anyway, it's been unbelievably fun. We are bros. We're best friends.
Yeah.
I have such
I love respect, that.
Man.
I have so
yeah, it's
have
been
so
a, much it's, been, it's been a complete for, honor getting to know Kenny, you know. It really is.
It's been an honor just to spend 50 minutes with Kenny and impart that wisdom, and I know it's going to be words of wisdom that I'll carry with me for the rest of my artistic life as a creative. As we need to close this episode, because obviously Kenny's a very busy man, and I truly believe that one of the most valuable things somebody can give you is their time. So I will not take any more of that time to let Kenny go and create more stuff for everybody at home. Thank you so much, Kenny, for coming on and imparting wisdom and being yourself and creating projects that, you know, generations across the world, across multi ethnicities, multi backgrounds can relate to the content that you make. And I think it's truly something special. And I cannot wait to see what else you bring into this world with Julie Molina and Luke and Alex and Reggie, and hopefully a second season of the show. Now, usually I always ask my guests, I'm like, what music should we listen to in the car while you're driving around? But I think it's important to mention Julie and the Phantoms, the soundtrack, right? Because we want
to get... Maddie has a single.
Maddie has a single. It's right here, I believe.
She covered Selena's...
Dreaming of You.
Dreaming of you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I just have to say, Anthony, thank you too for having me. But, you know, we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the man there in front of that Puerto Rican flag.
Absolutely.
Found you and recognized your talent and heart and spirit and said, Kenny, there's this incredible guy and let's all get together and hang for a while. And so thank you, Ricardo, for introducing me.
Thank you.
Thank you for this time. It was enjoyable. I really had a good time, Anthony.
It's been great, you know, getting to meet Anthony, seeing, you know, how creative he is. You know, if I had his ability and his drive when I was 20 years old, I mean, he's just starting. He hasn't even scratched the surface of his potential, to be honest. And it's just, you know, I just felt that it's important. You know,
thank you so I will forever be in debt.
Talking about family, and it was very clear to me, you a number of times you said my family would not mm-hmm. keep me if I didn't bring up this question that I love. Your family matters, and that you have them
of
there
course.
In your thoughts, and that you bring them into your life and into your work. Good for you, man. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I'm forever indebted in you, Ricardo. Thank you so much for always going on creative projects together. Thank you, Kenny, for coming on. I hope to meet you on the other side of a boom shakalaka one day.
Thank all of our fans out there, you know, all the way back dating to the beginning of my work and all through Julie and the Phantoms. God bless you all for your loving support of my work and continued dedication to making Julie and the Phantoms come back again for another round. I love you all so very
love
much.
You all. Well, thank you so much. This has been our episode of Sunset Drive, and we'll tune in for the next episode. Thank you guys so much for listening, and thank you guys for being here. And that's it. That's a wrap.